Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Another day, another edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. As always, I'm your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. The Shift is brought to you by Iron Horse Bar and Grill, located on the corner of Knoll and 151st Street in Leawood. They have great drink specials running 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and a reverse happy hour Sunday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. So go on down to Iron Horse Bar and Grill on the corner of Knoll and 151st Street in Leawood. After a long wait, I finally am back with the three keys to the game to open up the show. I wanted to wait till Thursday, but I feel like I just want to do it on Wednesday. I want some more Chiefs Broncos content. We'll have plenty on Thursday and Friday. But usually once we get to that Wednesday point of the week, it's time to start getting into that matchup, right? No matter how big it is, and this is a big one, this is for first place in the AFC West, I think it's only right that coming off a bye week, we want to hear what the three keys are to beating the Denver Broncos and remaining atop the AFC West alone in first place. So key number one on Sunday night against Denver, third and long sets up three and outs. When you have a quarterback like Teddy Bridgewater, and the Chiefs faced Teddy Bridgewater last year when he was with Carolina, he's not a deep ball quarterback. He likes the checkdowns. He wants it to be third and short, because when it's third and short, his playbook can open up. There's not many plays for Teddy Bridgewater when he needs 10, 11, 12 yards. So if this defense can force them into third and long, that can throw Teddy Bridgewater all out of whack. He's not going to be the same quarterback. Where Dallas failed when Denver controlled all four quarters of that game at AT&T Stadium, they had too many penalties on the defensive side of the ball, the hard count going from third and 10 to third and five. The running game was working for Denver. And when the running game's working, all Teddy Bridgewater has to do is do exactly what he loves doing, those five-yard outs, those quick slants for 3 or 4 yards to set him up nicely. But you put Denver at third and long, they're going to be coming off the field a lot. And they know going into this game, regardless of how strong the Chiefs' offense looks, they got to score points. They got to have a game similar to that Dallas win, controlling time of possession, the defense stepping up. And you got to put up probably over 30 points. That's always the safe bet going into Arrowhead Stadium. You score over 30, you give yourself a good chance to win. You're not winning many games when it's under 20, right? Because the Chiefs' offense, even with how they've looked this year, they're not going to put up under 20 many times. There's been very, very few games where Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs' offense have put up less than 20. And usually when that happens, the defense plays pretty well. So Denver's mentality is going to be control the time of possession. They're going to treat you just like they did Dallas. We don't want to see Patrick Mahomes on the field. We want Teddy Bridgewater taking 7-8 minutes a drive and keeping the defense on the field. They want the third and manageable, not the third and long. But if you're Kansas City and that defense, force Denver into third and longs, because those will turn into multiple three and outs. Number two on this list. I felt this was kind of the same way against the Cowboys. You punch him in the mouth. Come out and punch your rival in the mouth. You can discombobulate a team like Denver if you come out, play effectively on offense, force a turnover, because then they're going to crawl into a shell. Maybe you get the ball to start the game. Go score a touchdown. And then on defense, force a turnover, force a three and out. The crowd's into it. It's Sunday night football. Your team is into it. And that's the aggressive mentality this Chiefs team needs to basically create. When you're facing a rival in primetime football, it's about who gets the first punch and how that team responds to the punch. I think there's only been a few teams this year that can take that punch and bounce back with another punch to Kansas City. Denver does not have the firepower on offense to take a significant punch from Kansas City. Like, I'm not talking some little love tap. I'm talking like a Mike Tyson first punch in the first quarter. You know, knock them on the ground. Not necessarily knock them out, but really change the direction of this game where you have a big play early, you score in 4 to 5 minutes, the defense comes on the field, and Denver doesn't even gain a yard. Right, Chris Jones gets a sack on the first drive. Frank Clark gets a sack. Maybe Tyrann Mathieu has a big pass breakup. Punching a team in the mouth can really alter the direction of the game. Go to Tennessee. That is the one game this year I think I've referred to the most. When the Titans came out and punched Kansas City in the mouth, the first drive, easily went down and scored. And then the Chiefs go down. I think it was either a three and out or a turnover. Then you go down and score again. You punch them in the mouth. The game is over. The game is 100% over when you assert yourself like that. Punching a team in the mouth, 90% of the times, if you punch hard enough, can win you the game. Number three, and I know that Arrowhead Stadium is used to this, so this really isn't that big of a key because it should happen every single time. It's the 12th man, right? Arrowhead Stadium. We've seen how much it affects Derek Carr and the Raiders. We've seen definitely how it affects every single Broncos quarterback that's taken snaps since Peyton Manning. When it's loud, it's a night game at Arrowhead, it's cold, you can't hear the center, you can't hear the quarterback, audibles aren't working, you got to burn timeouts. Go back to the 90s, John Elway asking the crowd to quiet down, right? And the official playing into that, where it was a charged timeout if the crowd wouldn't become more quiet. But this seems like a game where going with the knockout punch, or the initial punch to the mouth, and you get the 12th man, Arrowhead Stadium, involved in it, that's when this game can get out of hand. Because on the road, in prime time, it's all about quieting that crowd. And if you let Arrowhead get loud in the first quarter, it's going to be deafening for all four quarters. Right? They need a reason to be loud. And if the Chiefs go down and score, and the defense has taken the field for the first time with a 7-point cushion, oh, it's going to be tough to play. And I don't see Teddy Bridgewater having a very good day if this crowd is really into it. So those are my three keys, and I'll turn it over to Marco. But third and long sets up three and out. Number two, punch them in the mouth from the get-go. Don't wait to the third and fourth quarter. I'm talking first drive on offense, first drive on defense. Punch the Denver Broncos in the mouth. And number three, the 12th man. Right, get the crowd involved early and let them be a problem for all four quarters. Marco, any you want to add, any you want to touch on with these three keys to the game?
How about limit the turnovers as much as possible if you're Kansas City? Limit the mental errors, because in that Chargers game, you know, I was thinking they kind of gave the Chiefs a blueprint of how you don't want to play against this Denver defense when it comes to the play calling and challenging their defense, because that's kind of what LA didn't do. They didn't really challenge this Broncos defense with the skill players that they have on offense and a respectable quarterback in Justin Herbert. Let's not forget, it was a pick six that really was the difference maker in that game on Sunday against Denver, because if that doesn't happen, the Chargers are still one possession. It's still a one possession game, being down by eight. So that's the thing that the Chiefs, we've seen with the Chiefs team so far this season, is drop passes from tip passes from receivers that lead to interceptions. Mahomes passing it into forcing the pass and those tight areas where it does turn into an interception. We haven't seen Mahomes take those kind of risks in the past 2 weeks, but we have seen the wide receivers, you know, to get a dropped interception, or especially in the Cowboys game. So just not giving Denver any extra possessions on offense. Thus, you know, they still have a run game that is not one of the best in the NFL, but it's what they do best at as an offensive unit. And I know that we have said many times in the past, how do you beat this Chiefs team is the opponent, if you're an opponent, is controlling the football, the time of possession, and making the most of your drives. I mean, although that is in some ways a stretch, it's still a way to beat this Chiefs team when their offense is not at their best. The offense has to be playing some top-notch football if they're giving up the football multiple times in a game. So if you're Kansas City, this game, I mean, they're 10-point favorites right now at home. So this game is yours to lose if you're the Chiefs. This should be this matchup is a mismatch for the Denver Broncos. They've invested so much in their defense over the time during the Mahomes era that it really hasn't worked out for them. Let's not forget the Chiefs have been on an 11-game winning streak. Mahomes is undefeated against the Denver Broncos. It's the team that's really hasn't really challenged him as much as the other divisional teams, with credit to the first game that he played against them in Mile High back when he had to throw a left-handed improvise with a left-handed pass. But I just that's really the only thing I would add to it. But I mean, you touched on it all. You got to punch him in the mouth early on, get that lead, so it's hard for their offense already gets dug into a hole, thus setting up the third and longs where, you know, Teddy Bridgewater is not the best part of this offense, and he can only do so much to help this football team when they're down early.
I don't think when the Chiefs have gone over film this entire week, I actually don't believe it. I'm sure they've looked at a little bit of that Chargers game, but let's be honest, a lot of it has probably been over that Dallas game, because that was a Dallas team at full strength, and Dallas at full strength is very comparable to Kansas City. And like I said earlier in this segment, Denver's going to try to do the same thing, and that means turning the ball over. They got to turn the ball over, take long drives. If you're Kansas City, as you just pointed out, you got to control the ball. No costly turnovers, and you should be fine in this game. You're a 10-point favorite. You're at home. Though Denver is 6-5, I talked with Matt Derrick last night on Almost Entirely Sports over at Sports Radio 810. He mentioned this is more of a 500 team. It's not really a team that feels like a division winner. They're very inconsistent. They go beat Dallas, and then Philadelphia, who just lost to the Giants, comes in and mops the floor with them at Mile High. And then they bounce back, stomping the Chargers. So if we're going off that pattern, they're due for a not very good game on Sunday night against the Kansas City Chiefs. But that will be another Sunday night game at Arrowhead Stadium. When we come back here on The Shift, we'll have Blake Schneiders in studio doing our weekly NFL upset picks, the best team in the AFC, and some more prediction for the Chiefs and Broncos. You are listening to The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. As always, I am your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. And guess who's back? Blake Schneiders dancing in front of me right now. Blake, how you doing, buddy?
In the hizzy. What's going on, Mr. Jack Johnson? How we doing, buddy?
Pretty good.
How was the Thanksgiving?
It's fantastic, actually.
Yeah. I'm sure you guys already covered this Monday and Tuesday, but
just a little bit. A little bit. Yeah, I did watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, as I promised.
As you said, yes, I did not. But I did watch Dances with Wolves, which I think was appropriate.
That's with
Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner, that's right. I don't even think we touched on that on AES. Dancing with Wolves?
We did not, no. This was just a one-off. My sister had never seen it, so I was like, you know what? This would be a great Thanksgiving movie, even though it has nothing to do with Thanksgiving.
It just feels like it.
It has everything to do with just being thankful for life.
I asked Rudy last night, and Rudy said that his Christmas movie, switching into Christmas movie, will be Spider-Man. The one coming out
in theaters. No Way
Home? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, okay, so that makes sense. I'm probably going to do the same. Even though it's out in how many days now? It's like next week?
It comes out the 16th, so week after next.
Okay.
You can always rewatch it for Christmas, too.
Yep. Where do you stream Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? Because I have yet to see that for the first time.
Oh, my God.
I know, yeah.
Okay, so you can...
Where'd you rent it?
I mean, it was on AMC like four straight times on Thanksgiving. Like, it was literally four consecutive times I recorded it. But you can also get... Do you have Apple TV?
I do.
Okay,
I do.
So yeah, Apple TV, you can buy it for, I don't know, or rent it for $3-4.
Easy.
It's perfect.
You guys have TVs made of apples?
Oh my
what
god.
The?
This guy over here.
Did I miss? Is that a Black Friday thing?
Do we need to cancel the Wednesday, the weekly thing here, Blake? But you know, as we always like to do, there's not much change when Blake comes in studio. We have to do our NFL upset picks. You know what? We're going to make it fun today. Marco, you're in on this too. You get to have your upset picks. I know there's not many games to go around for all three of us, but we'll just go one by one here. So you know what, Blake? I'll open it up to you. You get your first pick for an upset this week, if you're ready. If not, we'll go to Marco. And if not, Marco, we'll just go back to me.
I think we'll start with Marco. I'd be interested to see what Marco has to say.
Marco's
on
scrambling.
The
I think we should start with Blake or
really?
Jack,
okay.
Though.
Okay, fine. Oh, Jack. Fine. I tried to be courteous.
Well,
and leave the floor because if I take this, you guys can't take this one.
Okay, fair. Fair enough.
Okay.
All right. So number one on my list, I love to pick the AFC West. I got the Washington football team over the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders are a 2.5-point favorite. I feel like every time I've done this, just out of spite, I picked an AFC West team not named the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, the Raiders, though, they did just beat Dallas. It was a banged-up Dallas team. It was probably their most impressive win of the season regardless. Washington, though, is kind of sneaky. I did not expect them to beat the Seattle Seahawks on Monday night. It's not a great Seattle team, but it's a Seattle team once again with Russell Wilson. So the defense without Chase Young, still not too bad. I like Antonio Gibson. I like Terry McLaurin. Hey, Taylor Heineke's got more touchdown passes than Lamar Jackson right now. Marco Marquez is MVP right there. So I feel like number one on my list, it'll kick off at 3:05. Over under is 49.5. Once again, Raiders are 2.5-point favorite at home in Vegas. But I'm taking the Washington football team. Blake or Marco, one of you guys, who's ever ready.
I don't hate that at all. I definitely think that, because this was a game that I was looking at, which I also think is going to be a fantasy game of the week, or potentially one of them with, last week I had Daniel Carlson, the kicker for the Las Vegas Raiders, ooh, and he absolutely murdered it for me. 21 points on Thanksgiving, Turkey Day, you kidding me? I was like, woohoo, let's go. I also had Hunter Renfrow. He went off. But for some reason, the Washington defense, and really both teams' defenses, the Raiders' defense with Max Crosby has been killer this year. But the Washington defense this year has been able to stifle some high-powered offenses. I mean, you saw what they did with the Chiefs. You've seen what they've done with other teams. It has been interesting, to say the least, to see how a team that I think a lot of people thought wasn't going to be very good this year has put together a pretty solid season, and I think it beat a lot of expectations. The Raiders, to me, are very hit and miss. I think one week they look great. The next week they look like they're throwing the ball all around the field with nobody there. You know, just no continuity. I think Darren Waller might be a game time decision this week. That'll remain to be seen. He did go down with an injury in last week's game. I don't hate that pick at all. I like Washington in this game.
Marco?
No, I'm with you on that one. Washington's kind of on an uphill trend right now. I feel like that they got that big confidence boost that they needed with a win over Seattle, although Seattle's not playing really well this season. Washington, both them and the Raiders, they're playing for playoff spots. I think Washington's in it right now in the NFC, while the Raiders on the outside looking in. You know what? You're usually right with your upset pick, so that was a good one.
I think I'm 2 weeks in a row I've been terrible, but I'm still wearing the crown. It's a little bit rusty now for my Dolphins over Ravens pick.
It has shrunk just a little bit.
It has. It's about to fall off. If I don't do well this week, then the crown's got to come off, and it's going to be for somebody else. Number two I have on my upset picks. Man, I really don't want to do this. I really, really do not want to do this.
Giants over the Dolphins? Is that what you're looking at?
I'm not, but do you want to have
it? No, that was a joke. That was a joke.
I am going to take the New England Patriots over the Buffalo Bills on Monday night football, because, of course, the Chiefs and Broncos. It's a little bit of a head-scratcher. Don't get me wrong. It's in Buffalo. But, man, I have loved the way New England's defense is looking. Again, it's not too big of an upset because the Patriots are in first place. They're just an underdog on the road. Mac Jones, as long as he doesn't turn the ball over, will give his team a shot to win. I mean, they're the hottest team right now, not only in the AFC, but in the NFL, even more so than the Chiefs, because the way they're beating teams, they just thumped Tennessee. It was Tennessee without Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, and Derrick Henry, but they did their job. No sympathy cards in the NFL. They thumped Tennessee. And Buffalo, though they're 7-4, they're still a good football team, a great football team, in fact. They got blasted by the Colts, so they're not prone to losing to a very good team, and in fact, they haven't played very well over the last couple of weeks, so I'm taking New England over Buffalo. I take it both of you disagree with me.
So, in my mind, I think this is poorly... I think the line doesn't make sense. I would have put the Patriots as the favorite, which would have made
If you can do it in Orchard Park.
I just don't see... I don't understand why. I mean, I guess I can see... The Bills really only have one to two weapons. They have Josh Allen and they have Stephon Diggs. They have been playing their lights out. Other than that, their offense is very inconsistent. Now, they've got Dawson Knox back, who adds a much-needed security blanket because he seems to be the touchdown hawk for Josh Allen, especially around the goal line. So, I would have switched this. I would have said Patriots favored and then Bills to do the upset, but... If the Patriot, if the Bills are favored, they look like they're, like you said, a two and a half point favorite or a field goal favorite. I don't know, man. I would have picked the Bills. I think the Bills come in and put some things together and just find a way to win at home. But again, I guess that's not technically an upset. So I don't know, man. I think this is one that the Patriots. Excuse me. I think this is the one that Patriots end up losing.
Marco?
No, I agree with you. I agree with the Patriots winning this game. Ooh. Against Buffalo.
How
I'm on the
dare
New England
you,
train.
Marco?
Oh, I'm on the bandwagon.
Nobody agree with Blake. Nobody agrees.
Jeez.
Gosh, I just... What a storyline for New England this year. I just saw a stat on Twitter. I guess they have like 49% of their offensive drives have turned into have been scoring drives, which leads the NFL. That's just insane, man. They're working it right now. And like you said, their defense is an elite defense. It's their bread and butter of this football team. But their offense, Mac Jones, I'm not saying they're a dink and dunk offense, but they move the ball efficiently. They move it well down the field. With the defense that they have, it parlays really well into a type of team that doesn't need a touchdown. You know, most of the time on drives, they're a type of team that – but last week against Tennessee – last week against Tennessee was really a statement game for me in this New England team because they might have played their best football right in that game, and we saw what they were able to do at their best, and they can compete in the AFC up and down throughout, which is important come playoff time. They're a team that can compete with any of the other top teams in the AFC, looking at Baltimore, the Chiefs, Tennessee, obviously last week. This team is, if they become a wild card team somehow, if the Bills take over in first place down the line, down the stretch in the season, that is a scary team. We talked about the Chiefs being a scary team going into the AFC, coming into your home. That's a scary team also. How about this for an upset pick? You ready?
Right.
Falcons over the Buccaneers, man. Give it to me.
Are you...
Cordarrelle Patterson.
Are you off your stoop, good sir?
Cordarrelle Patterson enters the MVP conversation. No, not the MVP conversation. How about this? The MVP conversation for teams that don't make the playoffs. No, this is a game maybe where the Falcons catch the Buccaneers defense, who have been sleeping these last few weeks. They catch them slipping here. Matt Ryan just going to have to put up his best game of the season. But, man, he is awful, man. Matt Ryan is...
He's gonna win.
He's gonna pull out the best game of his of the season this week against Tampa Bay. They're at home, so I don't know, man. I'm feeling good about Atlanta. 11 point dogs. I may take them in points, but hey, if you got $10, put them on the money line, baby, because you may.
So I love that Marco brought up this pick because this is one that I was looking at heavily at first. Because to me, and I don't know if I still agree with you, Marco, but I was eyeballing this matchup because to me, I saw what Atlanta did at home versus New Orleans when they had a good team and Jameis Winston and their defense was clicking. They have obviously fallen off the wagon now. almost like Marco when he, or almost like Jack when Marco said this pick. He almost fell off his wagon. But I just think that there's something about the Bucks defense that doesn't look right to me, and there's something about the play of Tom Brady that doesn't look right to me. The last 3 weeks, he has hardly been able to muster any offense himself. Now, Leonard Fournette, on the other hand, is an absolute sledgehammer out of the backfield.
Yeah.
So if the, I mean, if they're going to run the same game plan they've been running with him, the Atlanta defense, which is not good, is going to have a tough time. But Tom has not been the person who's beating anybody the last 4 weeks. He just isn't. So this one's tough, man, especially the way that Cordarrelle Patterson came off his injury and came right back with a bang. He looked great in their last outing. Dude, this is a toss-up. I don't know if this is a game to watch for me. I don't think I'm going to end up going with the upset, but I'm not far off on Marco's idea that this could be an upset game, but I'm not even going to pick anybody because I think it's going to be – I think this is just a great game to watch.
Blake saying I'm on something, but it's okay because it's not
yeah.
too bad.
You're on. You.
Marco's trying to bounce back with the Ravens Dolphins. I picked so he can be even with me. I picked the Falcons to beat the Patriots a few weeks ago, and they responded with perhaps the most embarrassing performance I've seen from an NFL team this season. That was so poorly coached, so poorly managed by Matt Ryan. The offensive line was awful, and I think they scored 3 points and had like three or four turnovers.
It was awful.
And the Patriots waxed
And that
them.
Was without Cordarrelle Patterson, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so.
You're telling me.
CP's back
now,
in this one. Did you hear
MVP is back.
Did you hear CP wants to play safety now? He wants to play in the backfield on defense.
Let him do it. Why not?
Let him. He's a ball hawk.
Last one I have on my list. I got the Broncos over the Chiefs. I'm just kidding. No. I'll use that as the last upset pick because we still do have two more things to get into before we go to break. All three of us right now, but this time you guys are going to start. I'm not starting this one. Who do you have as the best team in the AFC?
Marco, you go first.
Oh, man. It's New England if they win this Sunday, man. It is New England.
I'd agree with that. If they beat Buffalo, they are by far and away, I think, the favorite.
Yeah. Because then right then it'd be the number one seed if the Ravens lose to the Steelers. I need one more look at Lamar Jackson. I know I've been praising him as an MVP candidate, but just like how we don't know who the Super Bowl winner is this year, there's no real clear-cut favorite when I mean that. There's no real clear-cut favorite for MVP right now also because each team has a pretty bad loss that has a top candidate MVP. Every person that's top 1 through 5 right now MVP favorite has had one or two really sloppy performances this season. So it's probably – right now it's probably the Patriots because they've been playing really, really well of late, and if they get the win on Monday night in Buffalo where you said they're an underdog, yeah, I'm good with putting New England at the top of the AFC as the best right now.
Blake, good sir, who is your best team in the AFC?
Y'all are smoking, dude. You guys are smoking. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. It's hands down, unequivocally, the Kansas City Chiefs. And I will give you the reason why.
Lay it on me.
The Patriots this year have played a Titans team that does not have Derrick Henry and was not very good. Because after they've lost Derrick Henry, they've had nobody. They've played a Falcons team who didn't put up a single point against them. They played a Browns team, which has been crumbling ever since week 3. They played a Panthers team who, before they got Cam Newton, still they didn't know what they were doing at quarterback. They played a Chargers team who's been crumbling since after they've beaten the Chiefs. They played Jets, Cowboys. They lost to the Cowboys, which is even crazier. And the Cowboys, to me, are a giant paper tiger. The Texans... They lost to the Bucks.
Well, hold on. What is a paper tiger?
It's
like
a
paper mache?
It's a paper tiger. It's like somebody that looks scary, but it's made of paper.
I've never heard that.
You've never heard this?
I don't think Marco has either.
That was good. I mean, I see what you're saying.
I've never heard of that. When you said
you
that,
you guys' age is showing. You've never heard
paper
this term.
Paper tiger. Okay, continue.
I think they use it originally in military. Like they look fierce, but they're not. They fold.
Wow, that really is deep. I
Does
like
that work
saying.
For everybody? Like a paper person, a paper.
Well, I think paper people do fold. Have you ever had a flat Stanley before?
I did make one in elementary school.
Oh, okay.
I
right,
made
I
one.
Saying.
Yep.
See, paper people, paper mache. That is the entirety of the Cowboys organization. Just paper tigers. They're like, rah, rah, ree, we're going to get you. Oh, then we stink. We can't put up any points. We lose to the Raiders on Thanksgiving. Dak Prescott's not worth $75 million. I can go on and on and on, boys.
I'm getting it. I'm understanding it. The
full
part.
What I'm getting at is the Patriots' schedule is bleh. Are they impressively beating teams? Yeah, they're impressively beating bad teams and having very close games and even losing to some that I don't think are mediocre. You got the Buccaneers, they lost 2-2. Okay, a lot of people thought the Bucs are going to be in the playoff scenario. They lost to a Saints team by more than 14 points, and that was a good defense by the Saints. Still didn't have a great offense. Yeah, they did have Alvin Kamara at the time. Other than that, they've just been playing crumbling teams left and right and putting up a lot of points on them. To me, I think they just need to play somebody that can come out and smack them in the mouth, which they have not. And I think that's why the Bills game is going to be important, because the Bills, if they come out and they actually put a shellacking, or it doesn't even have to be a shellacking, but if they beat the Patriots, I think there's a big reevaluation on how good the Patriots are. So, therefore, with the defense, the way that's been playing for the Chiefs the last 5 weeks, maybe 6 weeks, depending on how we're looking at it, I just think the Chiefs are in stride. They have a more high-powered offense. They have a more performative defense, especially with the second half. They're creating turnovers. They're getting third-down stops. They're actually coming out and playing against good teams. I think it has to be the Chiefs. And that is not a homer pick. As much as I love the Chiefs, I'm wearing a Chiefs hoodie right now. I will be the first one to be like, because I was talking bad earlier on them. It's got to be the Chiefs.
You know that all that run through the schedule you went through, that just sounds like a good defense to me. Damn good defense.
You know, I like both of the picks that you guys had, and actually, I have a little bit of a wild card if they were to win last week, but they didn't win last week. If the Colts would have beaten the Bucks, I would have put the Colts as the best team in the AFC. I really would. I think they were the scariest. But, you know, when judging these two teams, I know Kansas City and New England are the hottest, but I do have to give the edge to Kansas City based off talent. I think they have the better quarterback. They have the better weapons. New England has the better defense. But I think if these two teams were to go head-to-head, I'd have to take Kansas City, because whenever they hit their full stride, and I thought they'd hit it right after they beat Vegas – like, the offense was back, the defense was playing well — that's when they will become the true best team in the AFC. The only reason the Chiefs are, at least in my eyes and in Blake's eyes, is because the rest of the AFC is so unpredictable. Tennessee's 8-4 and is nowhere near an 8-4 team anymore. They're way too banged up. Baltimore, they are not the number one seed in the AFC. They are, but they're not. Right? They're barely sneaking by some of these teams. They don't have a consistent running back. Lamar Jackson's not playing great. Their wide receiver options are okay, and the defense has played well enough to win those games. But I think if Baltimore goes head-to-head against let's say, New England in the postseason, I'd take New England. Or the Chiefs again, I'd take the Chiefs. They play the Bengals again, I still like the Bengals in Cincinnati, because they showed just how much better they were on that day when they beat them in Baltimore. So because of that, I think the Chiefs are kind of the best by default. They haven't really grabbed that top spot by just dominating teams. They're more so because I can't really trust right now the other teams. The Patriots in New England, or the Patriots and the Chiefs, have been undefeated since, what, late October, it feels like?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
one's on a 4-game win streak, one's on a 6-game win streak.
Yeah, because of that, I'd say both those are they're both even right now, but I think talent-wise, Kansas City has the edge. Last thing before we go to break, score predictions for Sunday night. Chiefs and Broncos. Blake, you start us off.
I think Chiefs defense is going to come out and play pretty well. The thing that bothers me is the run game for Broncos, like Marco had alluded to earlier, has been pretty good, especially with Melvin Gordon finding his stride. Javonte Williams, the rookie out of North Carolina, he's been playing really good as well. And I just think that they've started to realize, like, hey, these are our two guys. These are our workhorses. If we can get these guys involved early, then it'll open up things for Tim Patrick, Cortland Sutton, Noah Font, or Fant, however you want to pronounce it.
Font.
I'm going to go 28-13. I think the Chiefs defense is coming to play, but I think the Broncos score quick. I think they score early, but then the Chiefs defense realizes, you know, they start making some adjustments and everything, and once they shut down the run game and Chris Jones starts dominating the middle of that offensive line, which the Broncos do not have a great offensive line, and I believe last year they led the league in holding penalties, if I'm not mistaken. At least I know Bowles did. Their tackle.
Yeah, Garrett Bowles.
Yes. So I believe that the Broncos start out quick, start running the ball, try to keep the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands, but I'm thinking 13-28 Chiefs.
Marco.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good score, 13-28 Chiefs, because like we mentioned, this Broncos offense isn't scary. I don't know how consistent they are getting down into the red zone. I don't think this Chiefs defense is the ones that we're used to see where it's short field type of thing, especially with this Denver offense. Damn, that's a really good score. I'll go 24-10. I'll take 3 points.
So both are covering right now. Okay. You guys have.
Yeah, I think Andy Reid takes the foot off the gas pedal like he did the previous week against Dallas.
I think I got 31-17 in this one. I think the offense will play pretty well coming off the bye week. Defense plays great early on, but I think Denver gets a couple of late scores. We get a little bit nervous in the late third quarter where maybe it's like 24-10 and then the Broncos score, make it a one-score game, and then Kansas City goes down, drives, scores, and then that's your score at the end of it. So I think all of us have the Chiefs winning, and all of us have them covering.
Did you just take that score from Pro Football Network?
No, I actually didn't. That was.
So that's what they have. They have Chiefs 30, Broncos 17.
Great minds think alike.
Yeah. No,
I never lie.
Jack works for them on the side. We just don't know.
By the way, go check out Pro Football Talk online. They get out great content. But when we come back here on The Shift, we'll get into our college football playoff projections. Kind of a similar format as we got right now with our NFL predictions. We'll do it with college football. You are listening to The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. As always, I'm your host Jack Johnson alongside Marco Marquez and still joined by Blake Schneiders. The Shift is brought to you by Iron Horse Bar and Grill, located in the corner of Knoll and 151st Street in Leawood. They have great drink specials running 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and a reverse happy hour Sunday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. So go on down to Iron Horse Bar and Grill on the corner of Knoll and 151st Street in Leawood. I liked your guys' NFL upset picks. Very knowledgeable. Everybody took a leap of faith. We're not making those easy picks. Those Giants versus Dolphins. No, none of that. None of that. We go big or we go home. I was teetering on the edge of picking the Steelers over the Ravens, but then I realized how bad the Steelers looked on Sunday. Now, we're going to gamble even more. Or I guess, maybe not so much, depending how you look at it, with our college football playoff projections. I got 4. Blake and Marco are going to get their 4. And we're going to give our reasons as to why. So I'll start it off. I'll be the gentleman here. Give you guys some time to look at the teams. I won't put you out on the spot like that. Now, we did this a few weeks ago. I think it was maybe now a month ago on who our college football playoff projections were. It has changed slightly for me since then. I believe at the time I had Oklahoma. Don't have Oklahoma anymore. I have Georgia. They're going to win the SEC championship game. They will be the top dog in the college football playoffs. Then I got Michigan. I wasn't too high on Michigan until I saw what happened against Ohio State. That was my second favorite game of the weekend. Number 3, I got Oklahoma State. I think Okie State wins the Big 12 championship, and they give themselves a shot to compete in the playoff. That was my favorite game of the weekend down in that Bedlam series. And then finally, I got Cincinnati sneaking in because they're going to be undefeated. I don't see them missing out after what they've shown so far. They're undefeated. Yes, they're in the American Athletic Conference, but they've done their job. They beat Notre Dame. They're Notre Dame's only loss. So I have to give them as that 4 seed in the college football playoffs. So I got Georgia, Michigan, Okie State, and Cincinnati. Blake or Marco, who do you got?
So, Jack, we're pretty similar because I think Oklahoma State, if they win Saturday and Alabama loses – I just think the committee, although we shouldn't put our full trust into them because they have proven us wrong and have taken heat before for who they put it for taking with siding with Alabama, I do like the Cowboys in there at number three if they do win Saturday and Alabama loses. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if Notre Dame or Ohio State snuck in there somehow if Baylor does beat Oklahoma State and Alabama loses. There's so many things that could happen, and we don't know what the college football committee is going to do. It would be very it wouldn't be shocking. It would just be I would be filled with anguish if Alabama makes it in losing Saturday and Oklahoma State winning the Big 12 championship. It just wouldn't make sense, and it would just go to show you that the CFP is rigged in some ways, and they just need to expand it. But I'm with you. I got the same top four if those results happen.
So as much as I do love to be the contrarian here, I can't. I'm with you, though. I'm with both of you guys, I think, but I'm with Marco, especially on the how does the college football committee look at this? And how do they – because I have a feeling, and I really hope I'm wrong. I really, 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 really hope I'm wrong. But we've seen teams get screwed, royally screwed before. And I just have a weird feeling that regardless – of what happens, somehow Cincy gets screwed. Should they? Absolutely not. Especially if you beat Notre Dame. You can only play who you play. And if you go undefeated, especially in a major, mid-major conference, I don't see how you can get screwed. But like we've said, we have seen crazier things happen before. I think they'd like to put Alabama in there. How do they do that is the question. Because if Oklahoma State wins, and after watching that Oklahoma State-Oklahoma game the other day, that was a hell of a ball game. Give it up to both teams in that one because Caleb Williams, even though Oklahoma lost, put the team on his back in the end and was making plays left and right. Oklahoma as a team just played really well. Oklahoma State as a team just played really well. Caleb Williams for Oklahoma played really well. Michigan's, I think is a lock. Georgia's obviously the favorite to win the whole thing, so they're a lock. It really just comes down to how – if Oklahoma State loses, does Bama jump up? Do they screw Cincinnati, put Notre Dame? Maybe Notre Dame and Bama both end up in there, and it becomes Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, Notre Dame. Well, I don't think they could put Notre Dame in there, though, because they've lost Cincinnati. So it's one of the, this is a jumble soup, a jambalaya, if you will, of just like situations that I don't know. So I think if I had to pick what I would like to see, it's going to be the top four. It's going to be Georgia, Michigan, Cincy, and Oklahoma State. I think Oklahoma is more impressive to me than Alabama.
Alabama really hasn't shocked me or stunned me with their style of play since, I don't know. I don't even remember the last time they really dominated somebody. Auburn, they should have coughed that game up but had to take it into double overtime and win. So, most years, I would say, even if Alabama had two losses, I'm putting them in there because they're Alabama. They're fun to watch. I want to see them go up against the best teams. This year, though, it really just doesn't feel like the same Alabama team. I thought Bryce Young is, or will be, a Heisman finalist. Right, that alone should be enough to be like, I want to see him play in the college football playoffs.
And that was one of my questions, is how many of these guys do you put in that are going to be up for the Heisman? Do you keep those guys out?
you got to be fair here. Like, if Cincinnati goes undefeated and they beat Notre Dame, then Notre Dame can't be in over them. And if Alabama loses, they can't be in over Oklahoma State. If Michigan wins, Michigan has to be in. It's like, let's just use common sense here. A team with two losses, right, they can't be in most cases. The only team that usually can is Alabama. But if they lose to Georgia, I'd go, okay, that's Georgia. They're undefeated. They're the favorite to win. But they also lost to Texas A&M. That's a bad loss for Alabama, a very bad loss. So you cannot overlook that and snub a team like Oklahoma State who lost to who was it, Baylor?
Iowa State, I think.
Iowa State. Yes, it was Iowa State. Okay, so not a...
Who was a preseason top 25
preseason
team.
Preseason top 25 team. They didn't finish there, but still, they had the expectations, the high expectations. So I just want to see some more chaos. I don't want to see the same teams every single year.
Well, and the problem is that now that Ohio State has lost to Michigan, you take C.J. Stroud out of the college football playoffs. If Bryce Young doesn't make it into the college football playoffs, you have no Heisman finalist in the college football playoffs. Is that what the college football committee wants? And that's our question.
That's where the smoke is.
That's where the smoke is.
There's no way Ohio State can get in. I mean,
no, they can't.
Because they already got two losses. They can't get in with two.
You're not going to lose to Michigan.
No, nothing with two.
Yeah, you're not going to lose to Michigan and then get back in over team. Dude, this is I love this because it is chaos already. Mm-hmm. Because nobody knows what's going to happen. And either way, the chips fall. I'm going to be happy, but it's going to be chaos for somebody. And if you don't have a Heisman finalist in the college football playoffs, I feel like for some reason that's gonna weigh on the committee. But they need to uphold it the way it is. I mean, those guys just didn't perform down the stretch. Not the players themselves, but the teams.
I mean, who wouldn't want to see though? Like Georgia has to go up against Cincinnati all year. It's been Cincinnati hasn't played anybody, right? Besides Notre Dame, but it's like they haven't gotten to play an SEC team. They haven't played a Big Ten team.
I guess they don't play as better competition Alabama does. I was going to say they've gotten bigger, like score-wise, they've been able to take care of the opponents that they have been, whereas Alabama, their last double-digit win to a respectable team, not New Mexico State, but outside in the SEC, was Tennessee on October 23rd.
Yeah, and then we get our answer, right? If Cincinnati has to go play Georgia, we'll get our answer just how real they were, and I think that's a storyline I'd love to watch. I don't want to see Georgia play Alabama in the SEC championship, and then Georgia play Alabama again in the college football playoff. That's boring to me. I don't want to see another matchup.
Even if it's a close game, though, that's another thing. If Alabama plays them close to where an overtime maybe is forced, or
I just think that's unfair then to all the other teams. Like they don't even get a shot. Like Alabama's like, it doesn't matter if we lose, we get another shot.
Because we still get another shot. Yeah, I think if Alabama loses, there's no way they can be let in. And I think everybody who has been watching college football, I think they want, besides the down south homers or whatever team you're for, I think most people want some chaos. I think most people would love to see somebody different for once. Somebody different. I think people would love to see, let's say something crazy happens. Cincinnati ends up beating Georgia on some crazy game, and you got an Oklahoma State-Cincinnati national championship game. Like something insane like that, you know what I mean? Or even a Michigan Cincinnati or a Georgia Oklahoma State
Michigan two best defenses in the country.
Exactly.
No,
that would be so much. As a viewer, I would much rather tune into those games than Alabama versus Georgia. I'm like, I've seen this matchup 1,000 times. I don't care.
Yep, exactly. And if Alabama makes it with two losses, I may just boycott the game that they're playing. If it's Georgia, if it's Georgia, Alabama in one of the first two games, in one of the CFP Final Fours, whatever you want to call it, I just might not even tune into that because that doesn't excite me like you just said, like a Cincinnati being in it against Georgia or Oklahoma State going up against Michigan, because we've just seen it before. Hell, we saw it back on whatever this Saturday is going to be.
Yeah.
I would also say that I'd say the one team I really want to get in is Oklahoma State, because in a year where Oklahoma and Texas gave the middle finger to the Big 12 and said, you guys aren't the competition we want. We can't draw as big of crowds when we have to play Kansas, Kansas State, TCU. Well, guess what? How does it feel if Oklahoma State made the college football playoffs and not you, Oklahoma? And Texas, you're sitting there at the bottom of the basement with Kansas at 5-7. So that's like the cherry on top for this whole season, right? Oklahoma and Texas, they give you the double bird, and they walk out. They're walking out, and they don't have the season they think they wanted. Oklahoma State, they not only beat you, they take your spot in the college football playoffs. So I want Oklahoma State more than anybody to get in the CFP.
Oklahoma's standing there going, we're the bell of the ball now, boys. What's going on?
Exactly.
I don't hear – it's really hard to hear you all the way at the top up here.
Exactly. And they have been. They've been the much better team all year. It just was finally put on display this past Saturday. Right? Oklahoma was teetering with that disaster all season. It started – with that Kansas game. Since that Kansas game where they nearly lost, it was just a slow downward trend. Then they got thumped by Baylor, and that was like, okay, that's That's what was coming for them. And then Oklahoma State took care of business, and now they finally should be the team that makes it over Oklahoma. Now it is time for our favorite segment of Fact or Fiction. Five questions, five takes in under 5 minutes. Marco, fire away.
All right, Jack, Fact or Fiction. The Chiefs turned the Broncos over at least twice on Sunday.
Sunday night football, loud crowd. I don't think Denver will be a completely cohesive unit. I do think there's going to be some turnovers. I think Bridgewater throws at least one. I think there's a fumble in there somewhere, probably in the from the backfield. So I do think, fact, the Chiefs will at least turn over Denver twice in the game on Sunday.
Fact or fiction, Oklahoma State will play in a national championship. National championship.
That would be ideally my favorite national championship. I want to see like Georgia, Oklahoma State, because like I said, they're the two best defenses in college football. I think they can kind of bridge that gap between the Big 12 and the SEC. Just how good is the best team from the SEC against the best team from the Big 12? So if Oklahoma State takes care of business on Saturday in the Big 12 championship game, they get to the college football playoffs. I would pick them to beat a team like Michigan to go and then play Georgia. So I'm going to be bold. I think, fact, Oklahoma State will play for a national title game this season.
Fact or fiction, Brian Kelly has a longer tenure at LSU than Lincoln Riley at USC.
Okay, so the only reason I have that Lincoln Riley will have longer is because LSU is cruel when they are not winning football games, right? If you win a national championship, let's say Brian Kelly wins a national championship next year for LSU, and 2 years later LSU is 6-6 or 7-5, Brian Kelly's out. Likely out. I mean, that's what happened to Ed Orgeron, right? They may have looked at it. They may have looked at it that he won that title game, and then that was with the best team LSU's arguably ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you didn't have all that talent, you were a pretty average team. Lincoln Riley at USC, they are a powerhouse program traditionally, but they're 4-7 this year. Like, they're going to give Lincoln Riley 5 years, I feel like, and if he's getting them to BCS bowl games, they're going to be fine with that. So I think Lincoln Riley will have a longer tenure than Brian Kelly at LSU.
Fact or fiction, LSU and USC will be in the preseason top 25 for football.
I think USC actually will. I know LSU probably will, but they got Malachi Schwartz, five-star quarterback who was committed to Oklahoma, now committed to USC. I feel like USC will be in that late teens to early 20s early on, but I'll be honest, I'm kind of excited to see where Lincoln Riley takes this USC team. I think college football is better when USC is very good, so I'll go fact on that as well.
And lastly, fact or fiction, and you can let me know if you need the teams. Four of the seven AFC teams in the playoff picture right now are still there when the playoffs start.
Well, I think that'd be Kansas City. I think that'd be Buffalo. I think that'd be Baltimore and Tennessee.
Yep, they're all in it right now.
They have to still be in. I mean, there's no way that none of those teams fall out. I mean, a lot of those teams in the division, like look at the AFC South. The Colts are 6-6, but Tennessee still has a two-game lead. They've already played them twice. So as long as Tennessee can take care of business against the lesser opponents, they're going to be there. Baltimore, big lead in the AFC North. Over the last two teams, they're going to have to hold off Cincinnati. But I think even if they don't, they're a wild card team. Kansas City, I like them to win the AFC West. Buffalo, they'll probably be able to eventually end the miracle that Mac Jones has had in New England year one. But I think Patriots and the Bills both make it. That wraps up another edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I've been your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez and Blake Schneiders. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. You take it easy, Kansas City.